Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 137, New Phone Fun with Flackbox. Here we go. So my guest today is Neil Anderson. How you doing, Neil?
I'm great, Rick. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, and I appreciate you finding time to have a chat here today. We're at the AWS Summit in Singapore. Before we get into the topic, you know, what's your impressions of this event and all?
It's great. There's a lot of vendors here, a lot of different partners for AWS giving out good information, and it's good to do some networking, meet other people in the industry as well. So yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's one of the larger ones. I think they estimated over 10,000 attendees, 60 plus sessions. You know, AWS summits are a pretty technical audience, a lot of hands-on practitioners, right? So, you know, it from the Veeam side, we sponsor it, so it's always a good crowd for us to get in front of. But yeah, I've enjoyed the event. It was my first AWS summit. I've been to reInvent before, but it's a great crowd to be here in attendance. So,
and you're being modest. You gave a presentation today. You should mention
that. I did. I had a great chat. That's actually the main reason I'm here, because Anthony, who's in Australia, him and I switched spaces. He was at Cloud Field Day this week, and I came here. But yeah, we had a great crowd. Started 5 minutes late, which bugs me to no end, but finished only 2 minutes late, so I figured that was a nice trade with them. But yeah, it was a great crowd. They had we had to go to the machine learning track. We were chatting about that a second ago. Amazon profiles the experience really on four categories: machine learning, I think, IoT, blockchain, and databases. So as you say, three buzzwords and one technology. Yeah. Anyways, so Neil, yeah, tell us a story. I know I've seen a lot of your training resources online. I got to meet you last year in Thailand, and yeah, give us the intro. Tell us about flackbox.com and what the heck does that word mean? What's the story?
Okay, well, the story with the word is I started doing tutorials, and I needed somewhere to show them, so I needed a website. And at that time, I knew about cloud and data center, but I didn't know anything about online presence, websites, that kind of thing. So now I know. What I should have done was get an expired domain name that made some kind of sense, like a name that tied in with what I do. I didn't know that you could do that at the time. So I just tried to find a name. And of course, now all the proper domain names are already used, which is what, you know, when you see a new startup now, they have to make up a funny name for themselves.
Yeah,
because everything's already gone. So Flackbox was the least ridiculous name that I could find. Yeah, and that was after like about 3 hours of searching. Wow. And that was the least silly name.
And you got to have like not too many words or syllables.
Yeah.
So not too long, not too bizarre of a spelling.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of factors. We did the same thing when we launched our Office 365 product. We, in my team, in our lab use, we wanted an Office 365 email organization completely separate from Veeam. So we made aperturelabs.biz, and that wasn't too crazy. And we were trying to go like the Northwind Traders and Contoso, you know, from Microsoft curriculums around that. And we wanted to, everybody knows Aperture Labs. We haven't quite gotten there yet, but that was the logic. So if I go to flackbox.com, I didn't join the Wi-Fi here just yet, what am I going to find?
You're going to find mostly tutorials on different cloud and data center technologies. A lot of my visitors, they're already working in IT, but they're probably specializing in one area right now, and they don't have expertise across all the different data center tracks. So for example, say that you're a network engineer, maybe you've been doing that for maybe just a few months or maybe a few years, and now you want to expand your expertise. Maybe you want to learn about server operating systems or virtualization or storage. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that situation, it can actually be quite hard to find good tutorials, because they're either based for somebody that's brand new and they're too basic for you, or they're based for somebody that is already working in that kind of technology and it's too advanced. So I try to go for that sweet spot of where you're not new to IT, you already have some good general knowledge, but mm-hmm. there's particular domains that you want to learn about. You can find tutorials in that with me.
Well, that's great, because, you know, it sounds at face value, that sweet spot sounds really attractive, because long story with me, but before I joined Veeam, I was an end user, you know, IT admin, IT infrastructure manager type. And then before that, I was like a heads down engineer in the supply chain space. But when I was an end user, you know, I could see that if I was down that path for a long time, I would need to make a change at some point. And it's kind of funny because actually at reInvent last year, one of the companies I used to work with, the whole IT group, I should say a good chunk of the IT group, went to reInvent. And I went and had a chat with them. And, you know, just catching up. It's just, you know, friends catching up at this point. And who was the network guy 10 years ago? He's now in DevOps, right? So he's gone to CI/CD, right? So he's working on builds of applications and leveraging infrastructure platforms to do that. And he's working on changing the craplications to containers and stuff like that. I think I can say craplications on this podcast. I do mark it as iTunes family friendly or safe or something like that, but we'll see if they get me on that. But yeah, I think that that's a great resource for that, you know, because when you think about end users, right, you can get burnt out on a technology administration, you know, management and deployment, and it really becomes a cycle of, okay, what's next? You know, maybe we change vendors, but if you really change complete practice areas, that's going to be an area where you're going to need the resource to help you get there. And it sounds like that is a resource there that you can do that. That's cool. And for the listeners, don't let the accent fool you. You know, Neil lives in Thailand. But tell us the story. You know, how'd you end up in Thailand?
Oh, well, a long time ago. This obviously, I'll try to give you a short version.
Okay, cool.
My career history, which led up to this, when I was a kid, I didn't know what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I dropped out of school pretty young when I was 15, ended up joining the forces, and I was an aircraft mechanic at first. And then I met a girl who wanted me to have a good job when I came out. And I thought, okay, I'd better start learning something then. Sure. And I was looking at different areas, like maybe finance or marketing, everything. And everything required you to go to university, study for years. And then when you came out, you were at the bottom of the ladder.
Right.
But if you worked in IT, you could take exams, you know, with the Microsoft exams, the Cisco exams, everything. You could take the exams as quickly as you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And it was the late 90s, so the Millennium Bug thing was happening. Mm-hmm. There was a huge
uptick. Yeah, it was a great time to get in.
Yeah. So I got into there and then left the forces, was super lucky, joined this oil company just 3 months before they were bought by this other huge investment firm. And in that 3 months, the IT manager left. I'd done a good job, so I got his position. So in 3 months, now all of a sudden, I'm IT manager at like a medium-sized oil company.
Cool.
Yeah.
And this is in Scotland?
That was in Scotland, yeah. And so all my friends were like, wow, you've got it made. You love your job. It's great. And so I quit.
Yeah. Of course. Everything's of course, going great.
Everything's going too well. Enough of this. I quit. What it was at that time I was around 30 and I wanted to go travel. I wanted to go see the world. And I knew that if I didn't do it right then, what would happen is I would meet a different girl now this time, settle down, get married, and it would never happen. Mm. So it was either do it now or never do it. So I did it. And I went traveling, saw the whole world. Thailand was the last place that I was. I was only meant to be there for a few days. But the day after I got there, I met the girl who'd become my wife.
Nice.
So it stayed longer. And then, yeah, we moved back to Scotland for a while and thought, let's go and move to Asia.
Yeah, that's a great story. And I share with you that taste to see the world. And I'm blessed, really, with my role at Veeam. I get to go. Last year, I got to go to India for the first time. That was awesome. I mean, I've got a story for every continent now, so I love it. And there's countries and places I still have yet to go. But, I'm lucky. Not everybody has that itch, you know, because some people are like, oh, don't make me move to the fifth floor or third floor, you know, just keep me in cube zone, right? But, I like to mix it up, so I share that with you. And kind of ironic that, you know, initially was working on airplanes, right? And that's kind of a metaphorical, okay, go somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of the joke. He brought that up yesterday when I met with Neil. We were in We're here in Singapore, and it's at Singapore Expo. This is a very large kind of global scale event facility. I think they could probably handle almost any type of event. And we're only in three of the, like, eight halls and sections that they've got. And I was chatting with Neil yesterday, and I said, yeah, I'm going in for the rehearsal, and we're looking at this room. And he goes, this is the rehearsal room? It was their general session room. I mean, they probably had 8,000 seats in there today. Now, when it went to the smaller sessions, they basically cut the room in half. But it was still quite a big room, and it reminded you a lot of an aircraft hangar.
It's huge. It was bigger than an aircraft hangar. Yeah. Yeah, it was massive.
I think you could absolutely put a large aircraft with the tail in there. The only thing is, I don't know if it would have the kind of the horizontal clearance without support structures, you know.
So. There's plenty of room.
It was a big room, but it actually kind of spooked me. I mean, I've presented in many forms, you know, formats all over the world, but I saw that room and I'm like, whoa. But luckily they cut it in half and I felt a little bit better. So, no. Cool. Well, yeah, so the main topic here, at least the title I gave the podcast, was New Phone Fun. And so I think we all learned something about, did you lose your phone? Did it get damaged? What happened?
Yeah, I lost my phone. Oh. I think it dropped it in a taxi.
And, oh, snap.
Yeah.
I bet taxis, like, once a week get a phone. And I don't know about at least here in Singapore or in Thailand, but you can sell a phone if you find it. You can get money for that. I know there's even a machine that you can go to in the States that'll it'll give you cash. Or if it's an obsolete phone, it'll just correctly recycle it for you. So it's like, okay, a little kiosk. It's kind of nice.
So you go down, so that's where all the muggers hang out.
Yeah. Well, they scan your ID. So it's not anonymous. Well, I mean, if you want to sell something, you can always find a market for it. But okay, so you probably lost it in a taxi, and that's never fun. And you had to get a new phone. And then, like, we were talking yesterday about the personification of a phone. You know, it's you're a iPhone guy, right?
Yeah.
I'm an Android guy, and I actually have, a long time ago, it's probably not so much of an issue now, but I went down the Google Voice route, which is a virtual phone number, simply put, and the device number underneath it has changed a number of times, and that's been pretty handy. But yeah, I log in and everything just shows up, even the apps. In fact, if you migrate on a planned cycle, like new phone, old phone, right next to each other, I'm sure it's a good experience with Apple as well. But any tips if you would ever lose a phone again? What would you do different? Maybe not. Was it in? Did you lose it here in Singapore?
In Thailand.
In Thailand. So you lost it at home. At least that helps. Because I would fear losing my phone here, to have to come up with a new one and then a new SIM and all that. You know, that would be rough.
It's just, if you lose your phone and the number, it's a massive pain. If you just lose one or the other, it's not so hard to recover it. But when you look, because Apple have mandatory two-step authentication now, the second step is the phone. So if you lose the phone, and the way you can get around it is they send a message to your number.
Got it.
So you've lost your phone, you've lost your number, then so you can recover it, but it takes a few, here in Asia anyway, it takes a few days.
The built-in latency is a control.
It's basically a security thing, yeah. And apparently they do some security checks. So it's like 3 days, I've got no apps on my phone. Because I can't install any apps.
You can't get an app store.
Because I can't get in the app store, yeah.
Wow. It's something to think about. I mean, I think we're so digitally dependent nowadays that it's actually pretty scary. I actually did an experiment, was it last year or 2017? I can't remember, but I live in Columbus, Ohio, in the States, kind of in the middle part of the country. And I can get to many cities for day trips pretty easy. And Boston, I had a day trip to Boston. And it was pretty straightforward, you know, 6, 7 a.m. flight, something like that, and 6 or 7 p.m. flight on the way back, you know, so it's basically a day trip. I intentionally left my phone in the car at the airport. I did not take it with me. I don't know, maybe I was reading stuff about digital detox and all that, and it was just made me think, oh, you know, there was a time, 10, 15 years ago, I'd get on a plane, I'd fly to another continent, I would do work, I would come back and I would be okay, you know? Yeah. So, but now it's like, it's really difficult to function without a phone. So I intentionally left it there You know, how did I get around? I took a taxi. How did I know where to go? I printed out my Outlook calendar, the one page view of the day. If I needed to call someone, I had my Surface tablet so I could launch Skype or Skype for Business, which at the time, now we're using Teams, but I can dial phone numbers with that. I use Google Voice, so if the wife texted me, or work people as well, I can respond through a browser, which is actually cool because even if the phone's offline, you can still access it that way. Unlike WhatsApp Web, for example. WhatsApp Web, which you probably can't use that either, because WhatsApp is tied to the phone number device, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I could not use WhatsApp because I had the phone off in my car. Texting was fine, but that was actually it was a pretty cool day when I went without the phone. I think the first hour and a half, I reached in my pocket probably 12 times, and nothing was there. You know, I got a rule, left pocket wallet, right pocket phone. And I don't know if anybody else follows that type of rule, but it's like the phone's always in the same place, but I reached in there so many times. But it was actually refreshing to go the day without a phone. The funny thing was I had to save all my receipts. Well, there wasn't many, but because it was just a day trip. But usually I don't walk away with any homework, right, for the traveling. It's like if I get a receipt at a dinner or whatever, I kind of awkwardly stop and take the picture and put it in my Expensify app because I will lose that receipt. So that was one thing I had to do different. But you can do it. It's just a little different nowadays. But yeah, hopefully that gets all sorted out for you. I could tell that was a little frustrating, though. That's for sure. So as we wrap up here, you know, Neil, anything coming down the pike? Any projects you're working on? Any books or anything on the website we can look forward to in the future?
I'm working on an update to my NetApp course right now.
Oh, cool.
Which has been so long in the making, but I'm finally getting there. I think a few weeks out, and yeah, it's going to be ready. So I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. What kind of stuff can we see in there? Is it like usage? Is it, you know, installation? Or is it just like on-tap management? I mean, just give me a sense
it's
of what.
It's absolutely everything.
Everything.
If you're going to be working on an ONTAP system, it's a technical course.
Yeah.
But the introductory sections explain not just ONTAP. It gives you an introduction of the entire NetApp portfolio so that you'll understand that. And then it goes into actually configuring ONTAP.
Well, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. And for those of you on the podcast who use NetApp, just FYI, I got to correct my language here now. Veeam Community Edition, right, the new product that replaced Veeam Free Edition, includes support for NetApp. So you can use Veeam Explorer to look at NetApp snapshots and do recoveries for free. So if you have if anybody has a NetApp, you should definitely use Veeam Backup and Replications Community Edition. Or if you have a deprecated version of the Free Edition, you can plug in a NetApp and you can recover from those snapshots with ease. You don't have to be a storage administrator. You don't have to do any real preparation other than have a NetApp snapshot in place. You can do some quick recoveries. So, Neil, we mentioned flackbox.com, and then on Twitter, I think it's, what's the Twitter name? It's slightly different. What's that?
Flackbox TV, if I remember right.
TV. Okay, yeah. Where's the TV came from?
It's because it's mostly video tutorials that I'm known for.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Flackbox was already taken.
Got
so,
it. Yeah. And you have an email newsletter, right? Because I get the email, right? You have, if you go to the Flackbox website, you can sign up for a newsletter, because I get something like once every 2 weeks, if I remember.
Well, what it is if you just go to the homepage at flackbox.com,
yeah.
I've got loads of free resources there. So if you want to learn networking, I've got a CCNA lab guide completely free.
It's free.
If you're learning NetApp, a free NetApp lab guide. If you want to learn about storage, I've got an intro to storage course.
I've got
an intro to cloud course. I've got loads of free resources there.
Uh-huh.
And if you sign up for any of those, then yeah, I'll send you an email once in a while, but just with useful stuff.
Got it. So you can find Neil at Flackbox TV on Twitter. Visit him at flackbox.com. Neil, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.